Good morning. We are glad that you're here. We have visitors from different parts of the country, and we have visitors that have moved in here to make it their new home. And so we're glad to meet you, and I would like to spend some time, perhaps after services. You may have some questions, especially what we're going to speak about today. I asked David if we could kind of change the order of services so that I could read the scripture reading this morning, being that I had the scripture reading. I just wanted to kind of tie it in right before our lessons. And what I'm going to ask you folks here, not only the regular members, but perhaps our regular visitors. I'm looking around right now, and we have a few folks that are not here today that, the lesson that we're going to talk today is very important. It's very practical. It's applicable for today, for right now. And I would encourage that everyone here today, please, join in with me and following along with me and read the scriptures and pay close attention to the message. It's super important. It's very simple. But it's very direct, and pay attention. And after services, if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to sit down with you and continue to study on this particular topic. If you'll open your Bibles with me, we're going to be reading the third chapter of 2 Peter. We're going to read the chapter in its entirety for our scripture reading. So 2 Peter Chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming?" he promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to be to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with the promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Our message this morning is going to be on the second coming of Christ. And when we look at 2 Peter chapter 3, we have a good understanding of exactly what is going to happen. We're not given in a date, a time. However, we do know and we're assured that there is going to be a second coming of Christ. And the story that I'm about to tell you is true. It just hasn't happened yet. The story that I'm about to tell you, perhaps you may want to put your name in the place of this individual's name. I purposely left the name out so that if the application fits, then it fits. And I would suggest that you pay close attention to it. It was an ordinary Sunday morning, or Sunday, just like today. The sun was out. It was beautiful. The forecast was pleasant. He gave his wife a kiss and children a hug as they went off to Sunday morning services. His wife had invited him to go with him, as she did every Sunday, she refused. He refused. She desperately wanted him to become a Christian and obey the gospel someday and be with her at services. However, he told her, "I went last week. That should have been enough. But maybe next week. Maybe next week I'll go with you." He really stayed home because there was a big game on, and he wanted to get some yard work done prior to the game. But he told her, as they left, that he wanted to have a barbecue when they returned, and they could spend some quality time together. He would go to church from time to time, but he really never got anything out of it. The preacher seemed to always preach on salvation and what it took to become a Christian, what it took to gain salvation. And he thought to himself, he says, "It's all right for some people that are here, but for me, now is not the time." He would just sit there and listen to the sermon. He said, "Maybe later, maybe later," he would obey the gospel and surprise his wife. When he did go, several members, however, though, did invite him for dinner or lunch after services. But he was so wise, and he realized that they had ulterior motives. What they really wanted to do was just teach him and have an opportunity to preach to him about the gospel. He didn't mind his wife going to church, but there was times that he begrudged her going because it took up the greater part of the day, and he really wanted her to spend more time with him. But, unfortunately, his reasoning was based on just keeping peace in the family. So he let her go. And the children, and he thought, what really could it hurt? He went outside in preparation for his yard work, and his neighbors were mowing their lawns. They were washing their cars. They were going about their business. Some of their children, they were preparing for soccer games. Others were preparing for Little League. He would talk to them, just basically making small talk. They talked about the economy. They talked about the stock market. They talked about their jobs that they all hated, but they went anyway. They talked about a number of things. They talked about retirement. They talked about the future. They made future plans, and they all thought, wouldn't it be great once our children leave home that perhaps we can start our retirement and we can do anything that we want to do. But in essence, they just really were making small talk. Then, brethren, all of a sudden, there was a command. He heard a large command, a loud command. There was an earthquake. It was quite noticeable. It was a roar. It was the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. He saw the Lord coming down from heaven. The graves were opened up. Those that had died that were Christians were rising to meet the Lord in the air. And he noticed not all were going. Families were split. Families were torn in two. And then he remembered some of the sermons that he heard when he did attend. He went into his office, to where he had a Bible that was there from the last time he went to services that was not touched since then. And he opened it up, and in that particular Bible, in that particular Bible, he went to a lesson that he remembered. And we're going to read that passage that he went to at this time. So turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, according to the Lord's own word. We tell you that we who are still alive and who are left till the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains come on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other, just as, in fact, you are doing. He thought to himself as he read this passage in the Bible that when he heard it for the first time, that it had such an impact on him that he actually did save the outline. But he thought to himself, could it be? Could this be the day that the Lord was coming back? It was dark, and he was all alone. He wondered, would he ever see his family again? He wondered, why didn't I listen to those individuals that were so willing to teach me when I had the opportunity? He knew then that he missed it, that he did not obviously respond to the gospel. He was afraid. He was alone. And it was obvious at this time he was not going to meet the Lord in the air. Well, that's our story. And the application here, and we're going to be talking about the second coming of Christ. And when we look at this passage, especially in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 5, 3, actually, or 5:11 that we read, we took time to read, we have here an orderly account of the last day on the second coming. It specifically spells out that when the Lord comes, that there's going to be such a noise and a loud sound and a trumpet call that it's an awakening. And those individuals are going to hear that call. And what's going to happen first is the graves are going to be open, and those faithful Christians that had died, had gone on prior to Jesus' second return, were going to be caught up in the air with him to be with the Lord forever. That is the order. After that, those faithful Christians that were left would then be caught up and join them in the clouds to be with the Lord forever. Then, the judgment day. And what's interesting about this particular passage, and the Apostle Paul, especially when we look of order of importance. And I thought about order of importance in our lesson. And I heard an interesting sermon last Sunday when we were out of town. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Starting in verse 1, it says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come to you with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthian brethren, he could have went there and told them a lot of other issues to address. But he says, I don't remember anything. And I asked Linda, my wife, I asked her if I should even use this part in this particular lesson. Because as an elder here, and my fellow elder here, I was going to say, I recommend, but I believe I'm speaking for the eldership. We have a responsibility in our teaching programs and as we work within this congregation to hopefully bring forth programs that are going to be edifying and encouraging to the saints here. We may need to talk about stewardship, how to manage your money. We may need to talk about the family life. We may need to talk about your Christian life, how to grow as a Christian. There's a number of things that we need to teach about, obviously, in the overall growth and stimulus of this congregation. But the Apostle Paul, he said, I'm not going to talk about all these things right now. I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's really the important part. We have some brethren here from Texas. And obviously you know this statement, of the famous preacher. If you missed heaven, you've missed it all. Well, brethren, if you miss heaven, you have missed it all. On that last day, if you are not prepared for that judgment day, you've missed everything in life. These are the most important and the weightier issues that we need to talk about. We need to be reminded about the judgment day. Looking around the audience, and I was kind of hoping we just had a whole bunch of unbelievers here, But you know something? If no one responds to the invitation tonight, what you need to do is think about this lesson on your teaching as we move into our evangelistic program and teaching others just how important, what's really, really important. In our story, what those individuals were talking about, their retirement, talking about their jobs, talking about the future, these things are all good in themselves. There's nothing wrong with that. However, the weightier part of the issue is, let's talk about salvation. Let's talk about what it needs for you to be right with the Lord. Are you prepared for judgment? And our question says that the importance of preparation, the question just really illustrates a simple yet important fact of life, that we need to prepare ahead of time. We need to prepare ahead of time. Now think about things that you prepare for. I'm sure every one of us here make every effort to prepare for a lot of things in life, don't we? I mean, hopefully, you're preparing for the children going to school tomorrow. They're laying out their clothes, their lunch. Do they have this? Do they have that? You're preparing for hopefully your future, maybe a 401k, maybe an OK, maybe just whatever you can save. But you're making preparation for your children's education, aren't you? These are things that are important. And these things themselves, I mentioned earlier, are good. But what we need to do, brethren, is we need to know the importance of preparing in advance for Judgment Day. Because when that day comes, there's no more opportunity to prepare for anything. So what we're going to talk about this morning is we're going to talk about the Judgment Day. In Mark 8:36, it says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what will man give in exchange for his soul? And unfortunately, brethren, sometimes we're giving very little, for such a precious soul that we have. The Day of Judgment. There is going to be a Day of Judgment. I want to remind us of this. And our first passage that we're going to look at as far as there's going to be a day of judgment is found in Acts 17, 30 through 31. So far our machine is moving ahead. Usually you know that I am technically challenged, but this is important, so it seems to be working. There is a day of judgment coming. In Acts 17, chapter 8, verses 30 and 31, it says, "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this by men by raising him from the dead." And on that day of judgment, here in Romans 14, 10 and 12, and 2 Corinthians 5, 10. But Romans 14, 10, 12, it reads, "You then, why do you judge your brother, or why do you look down on your brother? If we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God.' So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." And when we look at this, you know, all will be judged and all will stand before the judgment seat, that's a fact. Now, some that have not obeyed the gospel this may be of little importance to them, but one thing that we need to realize, and us Christians need to realize, that day is going to is coming, and people all over the world are going to stand before God, and they are going to be held accountable. And every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will confess to God on that. That doesn't leave anybody out. So the very fact that there is going to be a judgment day and that all will stand before Christ is written in the scriptures. And the interesting part about this is all receive their reward. And it talks about, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Great passage. You know, I look back at my life and I've been just so blessed. You know, I just really blessed. But I don't think I've obviously received my reward in life here for the things that I've done, good or bad. And the things I've perhaps just gotten away with. One thing about Judgment Day, it's all going to be laid bare, isn't it? And we're going to be held accountable. And on that day, each one of us, we're going to be there and we're going to be given an account. And I think the story that we just sat there and read and thought about this individual on Judgment Day when he sat and it was dark and was afraid. And he was his mind was opened up to the very fact that could it be Judgment Day? And he obviously knew that answer. Well, on that day, whether good or bad, the interesting part here is it's going to be a day of salvation for some and a day of condemnation for others. When you look at a day of salvation for some, it says in Matthew 25, 34, we're not going to read that great scene, but it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come to you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" I mean, you know, your inheritance. We need that, just speaks volumes. What do we talk about? What do we, for the most, talk about in all of our classes that we study, and we talk about, you know, what the gospel offers us? I mean, this isn't our home, is it? This is just a temporary, shall we say, city, Boise, wherever we live, that we're living on that. But you know, our citizenship belongs in heaven. And we're looking forward to that day. And we're looking forward to that day when we are going to receive that inheritance. And on Judgment Day, can you realize the rejoicing that is going to be? You know, how happy you'll be to receive such a great inheritance. And then, unfortunately, a day of condemnation for others. Matthew 25, 41. "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, for the devil prepared for his angels,'" or "and his angels," on that. So again, you're going to have families split apart. Some will rejoice. Others will be condemned. That's the way it's going to be. We look at that. And What happens if we're not prepared for that on that day? Obviously, condemnation. Well, our lesson today is really just a lesson for reminder. And we need to be thankful and remember what God has provided for us. You know, this judgment isn't something that is just all of a sudden just thrust on us and all of a sudden, oh, that's an afterthought. You know, we have plenty of warnings. We have plenty of opportunity to be prepared for judgment day. We just need to make the application. But in 1 John 4, 9, and 10, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So in God's preparation for us, in preparing us for judgment day, he took away our sins that we couldn't possibly make right for by the gift of his Son. And so when you read your Bibles and you read the Gospels and you read the life of Jesus, and we'd had the Lord's Supper today, you know, and we partake of that Lord's Supper together in fellowship and joint participation, and we partake of it together and individually also until the Lord comes again. And so we profess that faith in him, and that's the confidence that we can have, and we recognize that it was through the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we have that hope of heaven, that we're right before God, that we can claim our inheritance, you know, through our faith. That to me is remarkable. Also again in Mark 16, 15 and 16, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. When you think about the provisions and what God provides us with, the gospel, the Bible, his word. We don't pay any attention to what man is telling us to be saved through their wisdom. And when we look at the gospel message and we realize and we have a great understanding of how powerful the gospel is, the power to salvation, you know, do you think you ought to read your Bibles on a regular basis and try to understand what God is telling you? From Genesis to Revelations, we have one common thread. That's redemption of mankind. And as we read in 2 Peter, you know, the Lord wants us and is long-suffering towards us. You know, we don't know when the Lord's going to come again, but as we recognize and we understand the very fact, we are allowed to have time now to investigate, to grow our faith, to understand through the gospel message what it takes to gain eternal life, what it takes to have salvation, what it takes to be prepared for salvation. And he plainly spells it out. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Baptism is for the remission of sins, and we'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at that time. Puts us in the right relationship. It makes us a new creature in Christ. It's the beginning and the start to becoming the child of God as we work towards our salvation so that we're right with God. I don't think anybody in this room probably missed the event on the 33 miners. Is there anybody that missed it? Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm assuming that's a yes. I was fascinated. I don't know. I was glued to the set. I had to see that first guy go down. And I had to see that last guy come up. And it was quite interesting. Could you imagine if those 33 guys sat down there and this big tube arrives down through this little hole, porthole, and the guy gets out and he says, hey, if you want to be saved, get in the capsule. Get in the capsule. And they said, I don't know. I want to think it over. Well, you only got a little bit of time. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to work. Well, brethren, you want to be saved? Get in the water. Okay? There's no other way. That's what it takes on that. Well, we must respond while there's still time. In Acts 2:36-39, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, that one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Well, you got to respond while there's still time. My wife was a Christian 5 years earlier before me. She was that individual that truly asked me to services every week. And I told her, now is not the time. It wasn't for me. I had things to do. I look back at my age and where I'm at today, and I am so thankful for the Lord's patience and long-suffering with me and gave me the opportunity, and my heart opened up, and I obeyed the gospel. No greater life than becoming a Christian. You have, basically, you have a reason for living, and you have a reason for dying. Yeah, on that. But sometimes you wonder why people are not ready, why they don't obey the gospel. And a lot of these times, which is quite interesting, and when I study with people now, sometimes people say, you know, I believe in the right relationship. It's just a personal relationship for me to have with Lord. That's where my religion is coming from, just between me and God. I don't have to belong to any particular organization. I don't have to go to church. It's just basically between me and God. Besides, I'm a good moral person. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't cheat, and blah, 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 all these things. But I'm just really a good moral person. I like to make sure that they understand this, because in 2 Thessalonians verses 1, 7, and 9, especially verse 8, it says, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. It says he will punish those who do not know God. All right, let's say maybe an atheist, the non-believer, the individual that just goes against God, has no use for God. And then he's going to punish those who do not obey the gospel. That might be your good moral individual. That might be your individual that has a desire and some type of spiritual propensities. And this individual here, though, no matter what, if he doesn't obey or she doesn't obey the gospel, obviously they will be punished with everlasting destruction. Not to obey, destruction. To obey is salvation. Hebrews 5:9, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And the question is, are you prepared for judgment? We go back to our scripture reading in Luke 17. That wasn't our scripture reading, but we can go back to Luke 17 anyway. When we look at Luke 17, I think this is kind of a neat passage. Reason why I chose this passage here, in Luke 17, verses 26 through 29, if you folks would like to turn there. It says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. The reason why I chose that particular reading to kind of wrap up our lesson today is when we look at this passage, it tells us about some Bible stories that we're very familiar with. The flood. We know that 8 in all were saved. We read about Lot, about saved from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then, in our 1 Thessalonians passage 4, 13 through 5 through 11, we read about people meeting the Lord in the air, to be with the Lord forever. And the reason why I wanted to kind of tie all three of these together is there's a common thread. On the day of judgment, and we recognize in our 2 Peter reading that the earth is going to be burned up and consumed and left bare. But you notice what's common among these particular passages we just read? All of the righteous were removed prior to those events. And that, to me, speaks volumes. Those individuals were taken out of the destruction, i.e., into the ark, out of Sodom and Gomorrah, out of the graves, meet the Lord in the air, prior to total destruction. God saved the righteous, just like the miners that got in the capsule. They were out of danger on that. So those, to me, are things that are super important that we need to think about. And when you think about the second coming of Christ, we need to pay close attention and recognize it's a fact. And we need to prepare. If you prepare for everything that's really super important to you and you know the value of preparation, that's good. But why not go beyond to go to and prepare for something that's great? Prepare for greatness. That's where we need to go, and that's where we need to prepare for. God's plan of salvation. We have God's plan of salvation. Some of you probably recognize I added one, you know, but this is how I really believe. I always generally start with Luke 14 when I do a study with an individual. Because I believe honestly that when God opens that heart is going to be committed to a life of service. And I believe that if your life is not committed to a life of service, then guess what? You just got wet. That's all you did. If you're not willing to follow God's plan, you know, and immerse yourself in Christianity, then you just get wet. But bottom line is that many have had the opportunity to hear God's word, and that we realize in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Get in, read your Bibles, study your Bibles. The answers are there, not only to life, but the answers are there in your preparation, in your trek for preparation. You can hear the gospel in many ways. You can read it. You can hear it preached. You can hear it in Bible classes. Anybody here that wants to study further, my plea would be ask any member of the congregation here. They'd be more than willing to set up a Bible study with you. Ask me. Ask Dave. Ask the deacons, the Bible class teachers, anybody. There's so many in here that have so much Bible knowledge that you will gain that. Belief. Hebrews 11:6 is without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you look at that belief system, it's for those who can believe, are able to believe, and certainly repent. Repent means turn away from your ungodly lifestyle. Confession, Matthew 10:32-33, confession is made with the mouth. It's before men. A lot of times people in the invitation may feel, well, you know, it's so traditional. Do I come forward? What do I do? How do I handle this? You don't have to make that type of demonstration. Basically, you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. and you understand that, and you're willing at that time to submit yourself to baptism. Baptism is a burial. It's an immersion. You go in there, you have clothes, you go in there, you go under the water, you come up out of the water, a new creature in Christ when we look at that. And then certainly Revelations 2:10 is you remain faithful until the very end. That's what it takes. That's what it takes to be prepared on Judgment Day. Because I don't know, have any of you ever thought about Judgment Day and standing in line, you know, hearing what they're saying to the guy in front of you, you know, I don't want to laugh about it, but I just, you know, really, you know, what's happening, you know, on that. But in Matthew 25, when we recognize the fact there, Matthew 24. Well, I'm going to close our lesson right now, and that I would want to make one plea. I don't expect everybody to storm the pulpit, but I would suggest that in your study, if you're studying with someone right now, that you talk to them, and you talk to them about Judgment Day and about their condition. And that you highly recommend that they study and they understand it. Because if they refuse it and they refuse to obey, then they're going to write their own epitaph. But I know myself, personally, I'm going to make sure all those folks that I know in my family, the importance of obeying the gospel. And I'm going to pray that God will open up that heart and that they will obey the gospel at the time. And I pray that the Lord will certainly allow enough time on that. So look around. Who do I need to teach? If you're here, you've heard enough, you want to make things right, come forward, confess Jesus before men, be willing to submit to baptism. And then start your trek. Because we have no guarantee. Because the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Could be today. It's a beautiful Sunday morning, isn't it? Just like we're in the vigil. Everything's going on as it had before, but it may not go any longer. No. All right. Our song for invitation. So if you have your needs or anything you need, come forward as we stand and sing.